I won't do it. Thank God for His mercy and His grace.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Well, a report went out, and so people were concerned about me, and they were wondering if, how I was going to do without my wife. And the answer is not very good, but I do a lot better with her. You know what I mean? And anyway, Joanne had this fallish cough. That's not how else to call it, but it comes every fall and lasts a lot of the winter, and you can still hear her coughing. But it's not anything like it was. And so she didn't really want to go up to the... She gets it every year for 10 years. So she didn't really want to go to the hospital or anything because she'd been to the doctors over and over and over with this thing. Well, anyway, finally it was so severe on Monday night, I said, we have to go down. And so we went down to Luther Hospital, and she was coughing and coughing and coughing. And nobody seemed to be that concerned about it because lots of people were coughing. But anyway, as we had everybody come over and a lot of people come over and prayed for Joanne, God answered the prayer, but not like I thought. I am not anti-doctors and anti, even though I suffered through something, but actually a miracle took place. And several years ago, I was diagnosed with an irregular heartbeat and AFib and so forth, and they put me on warfarin. And the doctor at the Marshfield Clinic and I, we used to laugh about it because I knew what warfarin was. I was raised on a farm, and we used it to kill rats. And anyway, in order to get my blood as thin as they wanted it, and I was thinking, you know, remember what Jesus turned water into wine? I think they were trying to turn my blood into water. And it got so... Anyway, I went through hell. It was a horrible experience. And finally, one day, we stopped this, and I stopped that, and we stopped all kinds of things, and finally I said, I'm just going to stop it. I can't handle any more of this. And I was getting an overdose. And so I just stopped it. Well, Joanne saw the hell that I went through. And so when she was diagnosed with something similar in her heart weakness and so forth, they wanted to put her on warfarin. And she told the doctor, Oh, no, you don't. No, I saw what happened to my husband. And so she wouldn't take it. And so and the doctor was kind of a little bit upset. He said, well, you should be on it because otherwise you're going to die. Well, so this time she went up again, and they checked her over and they gave her a MRI. Is that what it is? And anyway, they discovered that some of her weakness in her right arm was due to the fact that she has some arteries that are really thin in her brain, and they were leaking a little bit. And they weren't overly concerned, but they said that she shouldn't be taking aspirin, and the least of all, warfarin. And so she told my wife, and we both rejoiced, and we're in the hospital, and they said, you won't ever have to worry about taking warfarin because you're better off right now without it. And so anyway, as far as we're concerned, that was a miracle. And she's doing fine. And contrary to this, the rumor that I don't know how it started, and I'm not sure, I kind of suspect I got an idea how it might have, but that I was probably going to be alone without my wife. I don't think so. She's doing good we even stopped taking the aspirin regimen, you know. And they told us to. They said that, no, she's better off. She'll live longer without it. And I said, I think so too. Even though I know nothing about it, I think so. Well, anyway, I feel that was an answer to our prayer. because now my wife has a weak heart, and she has an irregular heartbeat, and so do I. And the doctor told me when I asked him, he said, "I said, how many people have this?" He said, "Oh, probably 30-40%." Since then, I've discovered people, you know, young people have irregular heartbeats, have things the same way. And so, anyway, I think it was an answer to prayer, but I didn't expect it from that area. And in the process, I met a doctor, and I tried to talk him into being. I mean, we just switched from Marshfield to Mayo, to Luther Hospital. And so in the process of being with UCare, we haven't established a family doctor. And so there was a young fellow, not young, he's an Indian from India. And I tried to talk him into being our family doctor, and he couldn't. He said, "I can't." You know what I mean? Just one of those guys. Huh?
He's a neurologist.
Whatever it is. And he laughed, and I said, we'd like to take you or get you. And he says, "I can't, you know." But anyway, we haven't established one. But in the process, he came in one night. When I know, I was concerned. Of course I'm concerned. How long can she keep coughing before the top of her head blows off? You know what I mean? And anyway, in the process of all of this, a scripture. Well, I got to find the scripture before I tell you the story, because I can't chew gum and walk. Anyway, this doctor came in, and I'm worried. I'm concerned. I mean, she's in the hospital. She's still coughing and coughing and coughing and coughing and coughing. And they finally gave her an antibiotic, and this is curing it. It's taking care of it. Anyway, in the process of this thing, this doctor came in, this from India, and he's talking to us. He said, "She's going to be fine. All of her vitals are good. You know, her heart actually it's a little weak, but it's good, and it's doing what it's supposed to do, and you know, all of these things." And he gave us this good report. And I was thinking, I thought of this scripture. I want to read it to you. And you're familiar with it. It's Philippians 4:8. Okay? "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are, honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report." Do you follow me? He gave us a good report. Whatsoever things, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then what? What do you do? Think on those things. And he gave a good report, and it lifted my spirits, and I thought, see, this is where faith makes the difference. We can talk people out of faith, we can talk people into faith by what we say. And he gave us a good report, and he gave us a good report every time that he came in there, and he said, "Your wife is in good condition. We just got to take care of this cough. And it's going away." I mean, she hasn't coughed she was coughing steady for about 3 days. So anyway, and then in the book of Philippians, the first chapter, the other day I called up Pablo. I heard this on the tape and I got excited, on the CD, and I got excited and I called Pablo up. And anyway, no, it's Colossians. No wonder it's not in Philippians. I have to quote it. Colossians 1:15. Let me read like 13, 14 along with 15. Now, remember what we're beginning to understand? And I told Joanne, she's said something a little while, and I said, thank God for His mercy and grace that would bring us to a relationship with the Word instead of a relationship with church doctrine that we have been a part of all of our lives. Thank God for turning this on to the Word. But it says here, giving thanks, this is verse 12, in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Are you with me? Are you following this? Who has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And this is the verse that I heard on the CD, and I called Pablo up, and you know, guess what? He says, I just heard it. I just heard that verse, because he listens to the scriptures like we do. It says, who is the image? Now think, who is the image of the invisible God? Well, what did he mean then in John 14:9 when he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father?
Because he's the image.
Mm-hmm. He is the image of the who?
Invisible
God. He's not saying, if you see me, you see God, per se, as a person. He's saying, I am the image. See, God created us in His image. And here is the perfect image of God. And I am coming to the realization, revelation, that to be in the image of God is to speak what God speaks.
Yes.
Is to hear Him, be familiar with what He says, until that becomes our nature. Remember what Peter said? By these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of His divine nature.
Amen.
So here we are. He is the image of the invisible God, and then this looks like double talk. But it's not. The firstborn of every creature. The image of the invisible God, and yet the firstborn of every creature. See, it says that in Revelation. He's the firstborn of God's creation. For by Him were all things created, that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Glory.
I was wondering if what I'd kind of stumbled across would fit. It just fit. Because I was, a couple days, I don't know when it was. I remember I was listening or reading, and I heard the term in the beginning, or the beginning. Only I wasn't talking about creation. And then I started thinking, well, and there's quite a few times that there's a reference, and actually what Keith just read is kind of one of them. See, there was a beginning of creation when He made, you know, the Father made all the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it. But there's a second beginning, I'm feeling. And that's when the kingdom of God comes. Because all the time up until Christ, there really wasn't evidence in the say per se of the kingdom of God. But then when Christ came, He kept referring to, you are near the kingdom of God. You are close to the kingdom of God, or you have the kingdom of God. When it says that Christ is the firstborn, see, he is the first of the kingdom, the true kingdom of God. He is the beginning of that kingdom coming to fruition. And in John, I mean, there was the people of Israel, and they were God's people and everything, but in chapter 1 of John,